The first reading is from Genesis. The same night, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 7th chapter. Jesus said, "Do not judge, so that you may not be judged. For with the judgment you make, you will be judged. And the measure you give will be the measure you get. Why do you see the speck in your neighbor's eye, but do not notice the log in your own eye? Or how can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' while the log is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your neighbor's eye." This is the gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. As we continue our series on making peace in conflict, I want to tell you a story that Douglas Adams, the author of The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, tells. Now, he swears this is a true story, but I'm not so sure. He was waiting at a train station in Cambridge, England. He bought a newspaper, a coffee, and a package of cookies, and he sat down. Now, it's important that you picture this. A coffee, a newspaper, a little bag of cookies, at a table. Now, since it was crowded, a businessman came and sat at the same table. And Adams, he was reading his newspaper. He glanced up quickly to say hello, but he wasn't really paying attention. Well, what did grab his attention is when this British traveler reaches across the table, opens up the package of cookies, and helps himself to one. Well, wanting to be polite, Adams doesn't say anything to him, but he then immediately reaches out and takes one of his own, and the two of them eat in uncomfortable silence. Now, this goes back and forth until all the cookies, or since this is Great Britain, all the biscuits are gone. Again, not a word is said. Well, eventually the businessman gets up to go catch his train, and as he leaves, Adams gives him a sort of look. You know what I mean. And the businessman gives him the same look back. Well, they're polite, discreet Brits. They don't actually say anything. Well, when it comes time for Douglas Adams to catch his train, he thinks to himself, well, that was certainly unusual. So he stands up and he collects his things, and as he picks up his newspaper, there underneath it, yep, you got it, there is his package of cookies, unopened. And so it is that Jesus asks, "How can you say to your neighbor, 'Let me get the speck out of your own eye,' while the log is in your own eye?" Now, I'm sure you've all heard that expression at some point. Now, Jesus is not telling you that no matter what the situation is, you should always blame yourself. No, that's not it. But what Jesus wants us to recognize that we are so resistant to is that in any given situation of conflict, almost 100% of the time, everyone involved has some share of the blame. It is almost never black and white. They're in the wrong, they're in the right. But aren't we so much more willing to see the other person's faults than our own? We immediately assume that guy is stealing my cookies, when actually all along we've been taking his. But see, the log of our own fault, our own sin, our own pride or fear or anger or whatever it is, it blinds us to the reality of the situation. And as you can imagine, a person blinded trying to take a speck out of somebody else's eye is only going to hurt. It's like, hey, I'm going to take my cookies, but they're actually the other ones. But honestly, isn't that what we so often see when there's conflict? Isn't that what we so often do? Not really communicating, but just hurting each other, convinced all along, it's not my fault, it's their fault. I'm in the right. God doesn't want it to be this way. In fact, I truly believe that whenever we find ourselves in some kind of interpersonal difficulty, God wants to use that situation not to escalate the anger, but because God loves us, he wants to use that situation to make everyone involved more holy, more mature, more like Christ. Now remember what we said last time. Conflict plus Christ equals healing. And getting the log out of our own eye is a major step in that direction. So how does it work? How do we clear our own vision? How do we stop blaming the other guy? Well, this is where we go from the log to the limp. The story of Jacob at the river Jabbok, wrestling with God. Now, how do these two stories connect? Well, this encounter that Jacob has is actually part of a bigger story of reconciliation and forgiveness between him and his brother Esau. See, Jacob had swindled and conned his way through life, including cheating his older brother out of his birthright. And now he was about to encounter Esau for the first time in years. And he's terrified. He knows that Esau has an army. His only hope is to reconcile with this brother from whom he deserves nothing but anger and revenge. So there he is, alone, vulnerable in this night of fear, and Jacob finds himself wrestling for his life, wrestling to a standstill with this stranger. And Jacob, who has been able to slip free and worm his way out of almost every situation he's ever been stuck in, he can't win. And so finally, in desperation, he cries out for a blessing. I might not be able to beat you, but I will not let you go until you bless me. And he receives it. And then he realizes he has wrestled the Lord. And here's what you got to see. in the middle of his getting ready to face his greatest of fears in Esau, God wrestles with Jacob. And it leaves him humbled. What does Genesis tell him? Tell us? Now, he has a limp. Now, he can no longer be cocky. He's no longer as strong as he thought he was. Now he is ready to go and face his brother. Why? Because now he walks with a limp. Now he has been wounded by the grace of God. And he will go, wounded, limping, and he will find forgiveness. Jacob wrestled with God. And in that wrestling, he had to face his weakness, his frailties, his failings, his fears. That is how we get the log out of our own eye. See, if we're going to recognize our own sins, our own faults, we need God to wrestle with us. Not physically, but spiritually, in prayer, in Bible reading, in honest and hard conversations with wise and mature Christians. When we allow ourselves to be in contact with God in those ways, He will wrestle with us. When we are in conflict and still open to what God is saying, God will use that conflict not to show you how the other person is to blame. That's what we want. Come on, Lord, show me how I'm in the right here. No. God will use that conflict to show us where we are in need of change. Where we are making things worse. And even though that may hurt like the strike to Jacob's hip hurt, it'll heal us. See, God didn't want to harm Jacob. He wanted to help him, to bless him by giving him the gift of a humble limp. And God wants to do the same thing with each one of us. So, when you're in a conflict with someone, stop thinking that you are fighting with that person. Because you're not. Look instead for how, in the middle of all that struggle, God is wrestling with you. Is He showing you some pride or some bitterness or some fear that is driving you? Because if we let it, being in conflict will do that. It will give us lots of opportunities, if we're willing to see them, for us to discover how we need to grow in love and forgiveness, in understanding, and in holiness. But let's face it, when somebody's arguing with us, when somebody's blaming us, when someone's accusing us, our default position is not to say, hey, this feels like a great opportunity for me to grow spiritually. No. We want to fight back. We want to dig in our heels, and we want to knock that speck out of the other person's eye. But that's how everyone loses. Things escalate. Relationships get broken. So God has a different way. A better way. Whenever conflict comes, God is right there with you, ready to stop you from fighting with the other person. And He's there to wrestle with you. Himself. instead. Not to shame you, not to defeat you, not to rub your nose in anything, but to bless you. God wants to use those conflicts to humble us, to change us, to make us more like Christ. Now, if you are anything at all like me, your response to this might be, I don't want to limp. I don't want to be humbled. I want to be strong. Okay, we can do that. We can be assured and self-righteous. But we'll just be like Doug Adams, confidently stealing the other guy's cookies, convinced that we're really the victim the whole time. See, the truth that conflict brings out is that we are not really as strong as we think we are. We've all got hurt and brokenness in our spirits. We've all got logs in our eyes. We just do a really good job of hiding it all, especially from ourselves. And so the limp is the sign that God has wrestled us into seeing it, confessing it, and repenting of it. The limp means we've been humbled, that we're working on getting the log out of our own eye. And that limp may be a wound, but it is a wound inflicted by the love and mercy of God. Because you see, in Jesus, weakness is actually strength. In Jesus, when we are humbled, that is when we are whole. So, never trust someone who doesn't walk with a limp in their soul, especially if that someone is you. Because someone who isn't limping isn't wrestling with God. Someone who isn't limping still has a log in their own eye. And if you want to lose the log, you got to find the limp. If you really want to win in conflict, don't try to beat the speck out of the other person's eye. Don't try to be strong. Let God make you humble. Let him change you. And let him worry about changing the other person. Then the log will start to come out of your eye. And then you'll be able to see clearly, because you'll be seeing in love. Amen.